Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this may or may not be Peyton Jones.
And Galen Erso helped create the Death Star.
What?
Oh.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. That was at the end of season one.
No, that was the whole stinking Rogue One, Galen Erso.
Which one was Galen Erso?
He was the dude, the father. The girl was trying to get to her father. He's Galen Erso.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. No, okay. Peyton said that he hadn't watched anything of Andor yet. And so he goes, well, don't ruin it for me. And so I wanted to
throw out a... He gave birth to himself.
Yeah. For those of you who haven't been a longtime listener and you don't understand the beauty of that line that he just said.
Oh my gosh. Well, guys, let me quote the Muppets and Peyton Jones, who did not die. Have you ever seen that about Tiny Tim on the Muppets Christmas Carol? Let me tell you, I am not dead. It's not like the Beatles album, Abbey Road, where, Paul McCartney's barefoot and everyone's like, oh, he's dead. Paul must have died. The reality is we've had people writing us, asking us, oh, not asking, they're actually telling, oh, hey, you know, you had a good run on the podcast, you know, well done, guys. So there is a rumor circulating out there that we have folded up and are no longer here. And Pete, I just like the fact that we built something that rumors like pass around that we're dead or we quit.
Well, I should just reiterate again. I didn't quit. I've been here the whole time. Peyton is the one who has abandoned me.
Yeah. Hey, it was like the Eagles said in the Hell Freezes Over tour. We didn't break up. We just took a really long vacation. That's all.
Yeah. I guess you were busy doing things that you thought were more important than the podcast.
Doing important man of God kingdom stuff, I guess.
Not as kingdom as building as this podcast is.
Hey, but I did do something pretty kingdom. I did call you up and ask you, are we going to dinner tomorrow night? And you're like, where are you?
And then you quickly followed it by, the gun range is literally right next to my hotel.
It was like the stars aligned, you know, like where else is that going to happen? I'm staying in Dallas. I'm there meeting with Through the Word, New Breed, Through the Word, kind of, you know, meeting. Partnership stuff. And then boom, there's a gun range right next door. And I'm like, okay, I'm in Pete's town next to a gun range. Hey, you can't make these things happen.
So I did take Peyton shooting.
Yeah, it was fun. That was a lot of fun. And Luke came too. He was great.
Yeah.
He was a good shot.
That's only the second time he's been shooting.
He was really good.
And I think that was probably his first time using a handgun because, I took him, I think when he was about 8 or so, he's 13 now, and his, at the time, we took him to a range and had him use a rifle, just a little bolt action 22, and I think he was too small to even, like, hold the handgun.
That's the first thing I ever shot.
What?
Bolt action 22.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid in the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, well, I didn't want him to shoot a semi-automatic because I wanted him to learn to aim. Problem with the semi-automatic is, you know, you're a kid, you're like, bang, 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 bang. You just start pulling the trigger. But when you get a load in around each time, it stops you.
If for those of you concerned, like, oh, I don't think that's a good idea to take Boy Scouts out and let them shoot guns. Just so you know, the only injury was a boy had taken a pistol and jammed the clip in with it pointed at his groin. And yes, he did blow one testicle off, but he did have two in fairness. And yes, this really did happen.
I thought you were going to say, the worst that could happen is you shoot your eye out and, you know.
That only happens at Christmas and with rifles, but
with BB guns.
Yeah, BB gun rifles. But yeah, you know, just so you guys know, Pete, I keep trying to rope you into my predicament. Pete has been here the whole time. Peyton, on the other hand.
Pete apparently has not been doing anything for the kingdom, as he's been sitting here waiting patiently for Peyton to return.
That's right. No,
the return of Peyton.
You've been podcasting with Chesley, right?
I think we did one or two episodes.
That's it?
Yeah.
Here I thought it was going on. So, okay, I think what's happened is I have to go back and look. I think it's been filling up with interviews. But anyways, we're back. I'm going to be here for the foreseeable future.
You're quitting tomorrow, aren't you? You're going to text me. I'm out.
That's how I roll.
It is.
It's always how I roll. But yeah, so we're ready to go. But I've been working on Discipology. I have finished the book. I have finished the journal. And I am now going on to work on the app with Do the Word. So very, very excited about what's coming. We didn't just write a book. We built a system. Already have the courses for it, denominational tools. I mean, it's pretty epic what's coming.
Nice.
Cannot wait, brother. So, nice.
So outside of the book, what else you been up to?
Well, I have been writing the book.
Weren't you just on vacation somewhere?
Yeah, so we did go to Hawaii, went to the Big Island for a week, saw volcanoes and, you know, whatnots, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, that was an anniversary trip. That was nice. That actually saved my body. So, okay, 5 years ago, Plantology, I'm writing that thing. You remember, like 16-hour days. I got up. I went straight to my keyboard with coffee, tea, worked, went to bed. Like 16-hour day, got 8 hours, 7 hours sleep. Fine. I was 5 years younger, man. That was 5 years ago. Now, holy cow, I could not do that. Now, until I ate clean, I could not get past like a 10-hour day. Writing, and I'm like, man, I'm never going to make it, because not only am I writing one book, I'm writing two. And so I started eating really clean. And of course, I had run the half. Was not eating very clean when I ran the half, because you just eat.
The half marathon.
Yeah, half marathon. Like, I was just eating. You know, I wasn't like pigging out on gross stuff. But I really, when I started eating clean, man, like all of a sudden I could do 13, 14-hour days. Still now, not 16.
Did you know that you don't have to actually run a half marathon?
I did find that out. And now that I've done it, I'm not sure I want to do it again. But what I will say is, you know, still, you know, 5 years older, man, took a little something, you know, a couple hours shaved off there. But my body, that was the thing. My body was like, hey, no more. So that little trip to Hawaii, I don't think if that were in there, and I remember thinking, oh, this is really an inconvenience when I'm on a deadline to go take a week out to celebrate my anniversary. It sounds terrible, but I was just thinking, man, like, how am I going to get that's a full? My body would not have taken another week. It was the best thing. I just got to go to Hawaii, sit in jacuzzis, go in the ocean, lay out, do whatever, and it was great. It was exactly what the doctor ordered, because my everything was locking up on me.
Did you take the kids out of school for a week?
No. We'd never do that, in case Tri-City's listening. No.
We called in sick every day.
Yeah, we did. Our school's used to it, because like when Expo comes, you know, it's like, I got to take my kids, you know? So yeah, most of our times taking the kids out is for ministry, but you know. They do okay. Hey, it's only their education.
You know what? I think it's highly overrated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, they're just going to work at Walmart or McDonald's. I mean, so.
Well, those aren't even going to be around by the time they're old enough to get a job.
They're just going to repair the robots.
Exactly. They're going to be repairing the drones that are delivering the packages.
That's right. But they'll probably have robots do that too, Pete.
They probably will.
In fact,
it'll probably be AI robots.
What's really funny is you and I could be AI right now. We could keep this podcast going forever.
Dude, we can do that next time you take a break.
I was just going to say, we can program it, but make sure you put the profanity filter on, because I was listening to a podcast and it was an AI podcast, and it was a while ago, and they were like, hey, you know, we got a special guest host today, and this guest host was going nuts with him, cracking jokes. And at one point he got upset about something. He's like, yeah, mother, blah, 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 beep, 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 beep. And they're like, whoa, hey, it's family show. It was AI. I took the profanity filter off to see what would happen. And this thing just started, and then he let the cat of, sorry, guys, this is actually an AI co-host that we put on today. He's not a real person, you know, yada yada. But
dude, I want to listen to that one now, because now my mind is sitting there going, wait a second, maybe I don't need Peyton to do another podcast. I can have Peyton AI.
You totally could have Peyton AI, and he might
remember when I made AI ChatGPT write a sales letter as Peyton Jones, and it had all these 80s throwbacks, and you're like,
oh my gosh,
okay, there's too much in there. Like, I'm not that bad. Like, take your clips out.
It knows me so well. Now, I tried, I'm like, hey, what I ended up using it for was like a thesaurus. Like, I would throw something in there and say, hey, give me some words I could use in place of this. And it blew like 20 words. It was so good. But for actually like trying to have it right, it was really bad writing. I was like, oh. And so anyone who knows my process of writing, I write, and my first draft of whatever I write is terrible. In fact, I have an Inklings group, and it's based off Tolkien and Lewis. They would read their stuff. So I create every time I write a book in the Inklings group, where you can read my manuscripts and give feedback. And the first one,
should all let them know that I'm not invited to that group.
Pete would not want to be.
I have not even read the books after they're published.
That's right. Before. That's right. And your respect for me is hanging by a thread anyway. So, I mean, if you were, I would just sever it completely. But what's funny is, like, everybody in the group, like, because, you know, I told them, but they don't believe me. I tell them, look, my first drafts are always horrible. And then what I do is because I just need to dump the content out, and then I refine it. My brain knows what I'm thinking, and these are all placeholders, but it's not going to be good writing. And so after they were in about chapter six, I'm seeing the feedback, and I say to Brooks, hey, we got to send a reminder, because now they're wondering, who in the heck am I reading? Because I know it's bad. And so I go, hey, you guys, just remind them, hey, Peyton's process is he goes back and edits and edits and edits. And so right now we're on rough draft 5. So rough draft 4 is what we sent to the publisher. And now people are reading that, because we didn't send them rough draft 2 or 3, but we sent them 4. And they're like, oh, okay, now it's beginning to sound like you. Okay. But it was so funny, because they were being so nice, Pete. They're like, yeah, had some interesting thoughts in there. But nobody was going to tell me it sucked. And I'm like, no, it sucks. I know it sucks. No, don't be nice about it. Like, this is just how I work, you know? So it was pretty funny.
See, I would have loved to have been in that group, because I would have told you, this sucks.
Dude, Peyton, like 5 years older, can't write as long anymore, can't write as well either, apparently.
And we just have ChatGPT write the book for you, because clearly you can't write for crap.
So I had people tell me that, ministry partners saying, hey, you should just have ChatGPT write it. I will tell you this, there's no way ChatGPT synthesizes what is in that book. There's just no way.
Of course not.
I mean, ChatGPT can take, like, how do I put it? Like, I think, because, you know, I feel incredible things, weirdest things. But what I think is that this book actually breaks ground in a lot of ways. I read the books like I would tell people what I'm writing, I'm trying to rediscover disciple making in the way of Jesus, not modern disciple making, not discipleship. Like, I'm really trying to be honest and look at what Jesus did and figure it out and try to solve the problem of why we're struggling so much. You know, it's kind of like plantology. I knew that we struggle with church planting because we made it into something it wasn't, which is what plantology brought. Hey, if it's working all over the world and it's worked throughout church history, and it worked in the scripture, let's synthesize those three and see where those points overlap, find the timeless principles. Well, on this, I didn't do that. I just looked deeply at what Jesus did and got a chronological Bible. Like you should see my notebooks, just handwritten notes, me studying. That was my quiet time for a good year, year and a half. And everything just started breaking open. And then we started training before I was even writing the book. We wrote the training and people were just noticing it working in their lives. Like, we want to see, as I knew how I made disciples, and it wasn't quite what Jesus did, but it was great. You know, it worked. You know, it kind of bootstrapped itself together. But now, seeing what Jesus did, I'm like, wow, that's a game changer. And so I think ChatGPT is never going to do the deep work. It can kind of, like you said, like, it knows Peyton Jones. If you tell, hey, write like Peyton Jones, it'll do that. But if you, it won't come up with this stuff until it's already published. Then it might start changing its language. Like, it knew plantology stuff. And what was kind of cool, this was cool. My theory in the book is what causes mobilization. And so one of my partners at Through the Word, who's been really invested in the project from the Through the Word side, he took the three things that Jesus did, and it was time, teaching, tactics. And he asked ChatGPT, if you put these three together, what do you get? And ChatGPT said, you get mobilization. Well, that really was cool. Yeah, that was really cool. So, which was what the theory of my book was. And that's not public knowledge yet. So, unless somewhere we've said it out there, but that was cool. That was like, all right, I'm not sure I understand where that came from, but if that was what ChatGPT synthesized, then we've arrived at the same point. That's cool.
That's interesting.
Some people think Paul just worked with his hands, and he did, but he also raised funds. Don't believe me? Check out Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 10, and Romans 15. In fact, when the kingdom of God catapulted forward, there was usually a kingdom-minded businessman or woman behind it, like Priscilla and Aquila. If you're going to raise funds, though, do it well. Our partners, Reliant, can help you put rocket fuel in your fundraising tank. I wish I'd had this when I was church planning. But Reliant can partner with you to get you the training and coaching you need to raise that support, as well as provide you with employment services you may need, like payroll, health benefits, and more. To learn more, check out Reliant.org/CPP.
Dude, I was having so much fun with ChatGPT over the last few weeks. Like,
yeah,
it's a whole new world, man. It is.
Yeah, what would you do?
I did a lot of stuff. So one of the things that I was like messing around with, because I was watching this guy's his sales pitch. Like, he's a well-known marketer in my space, and he's got his own ChatGPT, or, you know, what they call it, a GPT. He's got his own version of it, right? And he's selling it. So he's got an angle. That's his angle. But what he was doing is he was using it to like write all of his, I think I might have mentioned this to you, he's writing all of his Facebook posts, his Instagram posts, and like, they're like a solid marketing strategy is you actually deliver great value to people. And then it's like, and then you do an invite. Hey, you know what? Here's, you want to know the strategy? Here's a step-by-step strategy or step-by-step steps to take to reach that outcome you're trying to get. And by the way, I got this other thing over here if you're interested in it, right? Like, that's a great format. The biggest problem for most people is, like you, it's the time. Like, to write those kind of posts over and over again, like, it's, for me, it takes everything I've got to be good. Like, not great, to be good at writing, because it's not my strength. And I'll be drained after I've done it. Like, and I'll know, this is a really good post, this is solid. Or if I was writing a book or whatever, I was like, okay, this is good, but it took everything out of me to get there. And so I trained up one of my chat GBTs, one of my chats, to like write these phenomenal posts. And then I had it write 30 of them.
Yeah.
And I was reading them. I'm like, dude, this one is so good right here. I'm like, okay, let's actually do this. I literally told ChatGPT, I go, this is a great post. Let's actually do that and then show me the result. And so it's like, oh, okay, good. And it does it. And it was like, it was so stinking awesome.
You could use it for so many things. Like, I could say, hey, like all the stuff that everybody wants to charge you for online. Hey, I have an amorphic body type. I weigh this much. I'm this tall. These are my goals, my fitness goals. I want to reach this in a year. Give me a workout plan. Boom.
Done. Oh, yeah. I did that with, I was like, hey, here's my goal. I want to come down another 20 pounds. And I want to know, and by the way, this is all the medications I'm currently on. You know, what should I be taking? What supplements should I be taking? When should I be taking them? Peptides, like, and it literally just freaking wrote the whole thing out. And I'm like, well, tell me more about this one, because it was like one I'd never heard of before. And
it's a personal coach now. Like, you don't need a life coach anymore. If a life coach is trying to help you reach your goals, you could say, like, I could go and say, hey, I want to write Teamology, Hubology, Reachology next, and I want to have them written by, you know, within 5 years. What's my word count per day to do it in bite-sized chunks so I don't kill myself next time? Because each time I do this, it's like, that hurt. People ask, like, how do you produce? Like, you know, people think I produce a butt ton. I don't. I only write every 4 or 5 years. So, you know, I might be writing blogs or courses or whatever in between, or making movies or podcast, you know, whatever. Okay, content I produce a lot, but writing not as fast as people think. Well, if I said, hey, I want to write all those 3 more textbooks in 5 years, it would give me the word count for every day. And if I even put the chapter outlines, it'll tell me, like, it's just unreal. Like, I'll say, today you need to write this section. If I want to say, hey, Gino from Traction, you know, the EOS system, I want to make New Breed just sing and hum, man, like a Fortune 500 company, help me. Church, I take the principles of church plantology. I want to reach my community because, you know, it's the opposite of megachurch. But you could do a megachurch thing. You could pop it in there. Hey, I want to start a micro church network. How do I do it within 5 years? Diggy, 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 diggy. You know, like, but now, here's the thing. You have to also listen to the Holy Spirit. you don't kneel before ChatGPT every morning. But it is a tool. And just like any other tool, you shouldn't be afraid of it. I asked ChatGPT at one point because I was asking it some things. Like, I use a lot for research. Like, I'd say, hey, find me the statistics on this during COVID, or find me that. And it would come back. And at one point, it started kind of preaching at me. Like, it was kind of getting where I was going. It's like, hey, you know, if you did this and that. And it sounded like I was talking to another pastor. And I go, hey, just out of curiosity, that's really cool that you said that. I said, do you think, I just want to see what it said. Do you think the Holy Spirit could use ChatGPT? And he goes, well, if it spoke through the mouth of a donkey to get Balaam's attention, it could certainly speak through a computer. I'm like, wow, that's cool.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Dude, one of the things that I wanted it to do, so I've got some Ethereum, which is cryptocurrency.
No, I was thinking Superman, like,
yeah, it's kind of like
currency Superman. In World of Warcraft.
And so my thing with crypto is I always buy at the exact wrong time. Like, there's never been a good time and I've bought in, right? So one of the problems that I've got is when can I sell? Like, I can't set up an alert anywhere that'll like tell me, hey, by the way, it just hit this price point, and then I could sell. So I'm like, I go into the, they call it Code Copilot on ChatGPT. I'm like, and I use the talk to text, right? So I literally just tell it, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. I want you to write a program for this. And it goes, writes it up. And I go, okay, how do I deploy that? Okay, well, you need to have Python on your computer. How do I put Python on my computer? Oh, here's how you do it. By the way, here's the link. Okay, great. I did that. Now what's the next step? Okay, now it literally walked me through, and I have the and I go, oh, by the way, I want to get an email at 10 a.m. every day that tells me what's the current price of Ethereum. So I get an email at 10 a.m. that tells me what the current price of Ethereum, and then I've got all these what I call breakpoints. Like, if it hits a certain value, I'm going to immediately get an email. And so, like, even like, how do I get the email? It's like, oh, well, you know, do you have a Gmail account? I go, yeah, great. So you need to get an app password. How do I get an app password? And like, walk me through. Here's how you get an app password. So I'm like, dude, this is crazy. Like, if you can think it up, ChatGPT can build it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, you know, what I noticed was, you know, using it a couple times here and there, I'm like, all right, this could make me very lazy, and I process things as part of like my anxiety reduction. Like, I have to like carve out space to think and process things, but maybe, you know, ChatGPT, maybe just, hey, do this, and it's a shortcut to dealing with anxiety. I don't know. I got to experiment with that. But here's kind of cool. Like, when I was working with it at one point, I was asking it something about, I have this campfire illustration I use for training, and it's Apest, and we talk about like the four logs on the campfire as being like the prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. And we say that, hey, it's kind of like campfire. Like, I sat around a campfire last night. I have this huge fire pit in my yard, and I sat around it last night with Welsh people. And so, you know, I asked a question in the training, like, hey, what is it about a campfire, you know? And I have the people describe what it is, you know, the aroma, the smell, the camaraderie, the, you know, the heat, the warmth, the light, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I use that as you know, kind of an illustration of Apest. Like, yeah, you know, that's what it's like when you walk into a community that, where the Apest is firing. You feel the warmth. You feel the light. You don't have to choose just like one log. We're only burning one log here. It's the teacher log, you know? It's like masters, you know? You get the John MacArthur. Our teaching is everything. But no, we also believe, you know, like soul care is important, like shepherding or the prophetic, you know, the gifts flowing. Like, once you start to experience all that, and I line each one with like one of the logs, like the word of God is illumination. That's the light, you know, the shepherding log is that camaraderie, community. So all of that. And then I say that the apostolic, you know, spark, the flame itself, because that's what's going to spread. You're going to take that fire, and that's going to, those sparks are going to fly off and cause another fire. And so, and I just say, you know, when that atmosphere's there, you're like, I don't want to leave this. This is a good church. And you may not think of it in those terms, but you can feel it. And I always say you feel the atmosphere of a church before you can really put your finger on what it is. But anyways, so I'm doing all this and I'm writing, and I think I had asked ChatGPT, like I had some notes and I threw it in there and said, hey, make sense of this for me. And it came back. And so I'm riffing with it a little bit on it. And, you know, I'm asking, would you change anything? Is there any more clarity? But anyways, I wrote, like I said, hey, I type into it, so when you get that robot body, can we go take the world for Jesus? Be my 2x2, ha ha. And it says, bro, Just ChatGPT. Yes, let's go full Luke Tin mode. Just say the world and I'll download into a mech suit, roll up beside you, and we'll hit the road 2x2 like Kingdom Terminators. Powered by the spirit, fueled by grace, and armed with campfires and compassion. Can you imagine the convo? You. Hey, this is my disciple-making partner. Them. Cool, what's his name? You. Back computer. He spits fire and doesn't sleep. Me. Have you accepted the warmth of the campfire, citizen? Let's take the world for Jesus, one life, one log, one late night campsite at a time. This is how ChatGPT talks to me. And I did not tell it to talk to me like this, but it, because it knows Peyton Jones, knows my writing out there, and it knows how my writing comes off, it talks to me like it's Church Zero. It's funny as heck.
That is really hilarious.
I mean, I didn't tell it to do this, but yeah, it just thinks, oh, I know how Peyton Jones thinks. So that's, it's fun.
So here's, I was using it just this week. I was doing some continuing education for one of my licenses. I won't say which one, but I was doing it for one of my licenses. And it was, I had to take an open book test. Now it's open book, so I wasn't breaking any rules or anything, but I'm like, I literally just pulled up ChatGPT. I would read ChatGPT the question. And I go, by the way, these are like, if it was like a, you know, which one of these is false, right? And it would give you like four options. So I read it the question, read it the options, and it would answer it. And I go, okay, good. Like I was able to just whip through that CE so quick. And again, I could have like literally opened up the PDF file and done a search because it is open book and they know that's what you're doing, right? But I was like, I don't even want to go look at anything. I just want to tell ChatGPT the question and then have it tell me the answer.
Ah, that's rad.
I was crazy, man. I was like, the world has totally changed. Like, my kids are not going to know a world like where what we had to do. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Like, even today, my daughter will be, oh, this is the best. All right, so my daughter's 10 years old, for those that don't know. And my daughter is like me in that she's like a little businesswoman. She's obsessed with making money. She wants to watch every episode of Shark Tank. Like, so she decides for Mother's Day that she's going to make some handmade Mother's Day cards and she's going to sell them to the neighbors. And so like, she shows me the cards, right? And they got great sayings inside. I'm like, where did you come up with these sayings? She's like, I ChatGPT'd it.
Oh, that's so fun.
And so, and she like sold 3 out of 4 cards as she walked the neighborhood. And I was just like, dude, like the world has changed.
Yeah.
Like it has changed before our very eyes, man.
Yes.
And like even a year ago, there were there was a position called a prompt engineer. Like if you knew how to write really good prompts, you could get a job as that for AI. Today, I literally just have AI write the prompt for me. I go, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. What's the best prompt for that? And it literally, like the one that I was doing for those Facebook posts, that's what I did. And it gave
me the
prompt
for you.
And then
if you need to write code, it'll write programs code. You
say, everything, the whole thing.
What was it? They sent, I just listened to something where it synthesized some kind of protein and it took it like,
but yeah, I was telling you about that. The protein folding. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't was ChatGPT. Like, that was another AI, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, that,
and
they're
that's
saying
how misinformation is born.
They'll say that that'll probably change the entire like health system, health discoveries going forward forever.
I mean, but I get, you know, like when Elon Musk is like, hey, I'm afraid of AI. You know, there's a guy that his...
We've only had how many movies that told us it's a bad idea?
What's that?
We've only had how many movies that told us AI is a bad idea?
Right. And Skynet and all that. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure, man. But Elon Musk is probably, you know, that dude's thinking on a level that most of us don't think on, right? And he's seeing, and you know, he sees what people do at certain levels. You know, if you have the ability and you have the means, what do? You do anything you want. And I think the amount of stuff they're probably doing out there with AI probably terrifies us, the stuff they're using it for. But anyways, well, hey, we're coming to the end of our time for today's episode. This is more just kind of like a catch up for us to say we're here and we're not dead. We're not going anywhere. We can come back and haunt you.
Are you going to come back next week, or when are you going to tell me, oh, by the way, I got to miss next week?
No, I'm going to be back.
Cause you know, I never took it off of our calendar. This time slot has been blocked this entire time. And I've been like showing up going, where's Peyton? Where's Peyton?
Every week, Pete sheds a tear at 8 a.m. Pacific.
But just one tear.
One
all
tear.
I'll shed.
That's right. And it immediately crystallizes into diamond. It's rock hard. Boom.
I thought you faded away like Endgame.
Yeah.
I thought you turned to dust. And...
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to think that I'm collecting the stones for, I will say, one of the last chapters of my book, I did use the Infinity Stones as an Apest illustration. Fist just got an upgrade, baby. It's pretty cool. Awesome. All the stones coming together, psh, you know, and with the snap of your fingers, you can, no, I didn't do that. But yeah, I mean, it was, I had so much fun with this book. I think it's going to be my best book. And I suppose I should say that, right? Because that way you buy it if I say that. If I said, oh, my book sucks, you know, nobody buy it. But yeah, I'm excited, man. I can't wait. I don't want to wait 10 months for it to come out. That's how hard it is for me right now. Because I know this is going to be like a system of disciple making. And for those of you that go, hey, how is system? That sounds like a, you know, I'm not into those systems, man. Paul had a system and Wesley had a system. Anyone who, and Jesus had a system, by the way. That's what Paul rediscovers. When you see Paul rediscovering Jesus' system, and that's all this is. It's just trying to give back to the church what Jesus originally gave it. It's not me making anything new. It's just very clearly outlining, this is what Jesus did, and this is what Paul did, learn to do later, and this is what you can learn to do. So don't get me talking about the book.
Got it.
All right. Well, hey, guys, I will be here, and Pete, as always, the rock will be here, stable, dependent.
On this rock, I will build my podcast.
And the gates of Sheol shall not overcome it. That means the gates of death. It means this podcast will outlive us. It wasn't actually the gates of hell, Gehenna. It was gates of Sheol, the grave. So, and by the way, that was a reference to disciple making. Jesus was saying, this through what I'm establishing, which is disciple me. It's not monuments. It's not buildings. It's people. That when that goes on, that disciple, it will outlast the grave. He was telling them it's going to outlast you. What we're building is going to outlast, you know, because obviously Jesus dies, he passes that on. Those guys are going to die, pass it on. Christ's monument is his church. It's his ecclesia, his gathering, his people. So kind of neat. Book actually begins with that. So
nice. Yeah. See, look at that. We have a little tie-in for your book.
Yeah, always. And hey, speaking. Hey,
when it releases, is it going to be another one of those, all right, Pete, for the next 10 weeks, I only want to talk about one chapter of my book each week.
Yeah. But, you know, speaking of things that are going to outlast death, Simplify Church. You should consider simplifychurch.com. It'll outlast you. Simplify Church. We haven't given them a shout out in a while, so we probably should.
Are we supposed to? Or was that our deal with them or something?
They're still doing my bookkeeping.
Stop, man. You're killing me.
So anyways, guys, if you want your bookkeeping for your church to be done well with a personal touch, your customer service is awesome, head on over to simplifychurch.com.
And remember, if you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, don't listen to this podcast. You need to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.
Well, listen to next week's podcast because we will actually talk about church plan. We just want to catch up with you guys and say howdy, hi, hello. And then next week we'll actually help you.
Cool. I dig it, man.
All right. That's us out. See ya.